Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I am your host, Dan. Joining me tonight from his studio in the great state of Michigan is my co-host, Alex.
Hello.
In the studio as well is our producer, Austin.
Yep.
And you can join us as well if you'd like to call in. You can dial 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. That number shows up on both our stream from Blog Talk and on our live stream on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, you can find us. All you got to do is type in Behind the Screen Radio Show, the first one that pops up. Click like, share, and follow to catch up to date on everything going on in BTS life. Also follow with Curiosity Media on Facebook. Give them a like, share, and follow so you can catch up to date on everything going on all across with Curiosity Media. From the Facebook page, you can access the website, www.curiosity.wixsite.com/WCMedia. It is quite a mouthful. It's a lot to type and it's a lot to think and remember. So just, you know, access it from any of our Facebook pages on the website. You can access information about our hosts. You can access information about the shows. And all that good stuff. You can also head on over to our YouTube channel, WikiCuriosity Media. There's some interesting videos on YouTube, and we are slowly but surely updating everything. All right. Now, well, that was a very quick intro.
I think that was the fastest one we've had.
I think so. It was about 3 minutes this time.
Yeah.
All right. So... it's actually been a while since we've been on the air. I don't think we did it last week.
Yeah, we did one last week.
Did we?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. My days are all mixed up. And,
it's been a whole week.
I mean, we didn't do a movie of the week this week because, you know, there was a lot of sickness in the family. You were down for a couple days. Miss Angel was down for a couple days. And it just wasn't, you know, plausible for us to be able to get up and broadcast. And we will not be having a movie of the week next week. Or this week. Next week.
This Sunday.
Yeah, this coming up Sunday because it is the 4th of July.
Yes.
So yeah. All right. Anybody got anything interesting going on?
I do, but I cannot say.
Okay. Well, we will wait for that when you can say. because I know a couple things that you are talking about. So
yes.
Even without talking about it, I know a couple things that you're talking about. So we won't go on that one. So I am actually on vacation this week, which is nice for me. On Monday, Miss Angel and I took a day away from the house, went and spent some time with some friends of ours, and you know, stayed over at their place and had some drinks and played some games, and him and I went to the range, and it was a good time. It was a very relaxing evening, not having to worry about anything going on here at the house. We had Austin here, of course, and the Godfather was here helping to take care of things and just kind of, you know, being a semi-responsible adult.
Of course.
But other than that, not a whole lot going on. I tried to look up things going on this day in movie and TV history, and there's really not a whole lot. So that's kind of boring.
That's all right.
So there is one thing I did want to bring up, and I think you're going to like this.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, when The Mandalorian first started, when The Mandalorian TV show first started, there was rumors that the sequel trilogy was going to be rebooted. I don't know if you remember those rumors.
I sure do.
Okay. And they're saying, and they're saying that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are actually going to decanonize the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. Honestly, I like the idea, but I don't really know how I feel about it.
It is one of those things where it's like if you lost a war, you can't just omit it from your history books.
Yeah.
And they honestly weren't the worst.
Well,
worst out of the nine, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't.
No, that's not what I meant. Out of all the trilogies, it's the worst trilogy. Is the way I was trying to convey it. Not the worst. Those are the worst three movies, but
I'm not about to pose the argument that I don't like the original three, so I'll agree with you guys.
I mean, you can pose the argument, because you can say whatever you want to say, however wrong it might be.
I don't think the original three are just outdated and not great.
Well, I mean, so I can agree that they are outdated.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they are, I hate that. I'm trying to put glasses on while I've got my headphones on. But the thing is, they are the original to, you know, what we have today, this whole franchise. And there are certain bars that have been set throughout the history of Star Wars movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And I just don't think that the sequel trilogy even really hits those bars, in my opinion. I mean, you can say that episode one, you know, is way below those other three movies, and that's what a lot of people will say. However,
episode one is the first movie.
Episode one, The Phantom Menace.
Darth Maul.
Yeah.
That's not even what I'm talking about. I don't think the original three are good.
Or the Jedi.
Those three.
Yeah.
Which one's Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sith is the third one. Is episode three.
don't have good names, do they?
I mean, they do.
They're very hard to track.
But there's, so there's a lot of history in the names, actually.
I don't know. It's a. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Me and Austin talked about this for a few hours one night, and so we don't get onto that same tangent. Basically, Star Wars is an acquired taste. You either like it or you don't. But the general consensus amongst people is that the OGs and prequels are on the same level, whether me and you agree with it or not. Original trilogy prequels, boom, great. Or good, however you want to describe it. Sequel, it's kind of bumpy. It's not very good. It's, in terms of storytelling and quality of storytelling and honestly quality of care that went into it, no. There's no way that they're best. But I can definitely see the different angles that people are coming from. But when they want to try to erase it, don't think that's a wise idea. I think they should either try to save it or just forget about it and just not even worry about it and just move on. Kind of like what they're already doing, except just forget about them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, well, continue on with the Mandalorian thing. Those will still be canon, quote-unquote canon, but they just won't be brought up in, like how Austin said, you lost the war, you can't erase it from history, but you can kind of not mention it.
Right. Well, so the thing I'm looking at, especially with the sequel trilogies, if you were to take them out of the Star Wars storyline, if they were like the original three, because that's kind of how they wanted it, that's kind of how they feel, is that they're set in the universe, but they're their own like trilogy. There's no continuation from episode six.
Yeah, it's like the only connection to them is Han, Luke, Leia, R2, like the original characters. That's like the only connection to the original trilogy or the original story that it has.
Yeah, and then you try to bring in Rey as Palpatine's granddaughter, and it just makes it really bumpy. Yeah. If you had that storyline as its own, if that would have been the Star Wars trilogy and the others didn't exist, episodes 1 through 6 did not exist, then
I don't think they would have been as bad. In terms of quality of the movies, yes and no. But like, if there's nothing for them to piggyback off of, if there's no original trilogy or no prequel, then there's nothing for us to compare it to. We might have thought that those were the best damn movies in the world, but since the previous movies that came out set the bar so high for fans of Star Wars, then clearly they didn't do as well. But if that is the bar, then, you know, I think it'll still have that same respect as the original trilogy did.
And I can see that, except for The Last Jedi, which was just a movie that was placed in there with the characters and had absolutely nothing to do with the storyline whatsoever.
Yeah, so last week we were talking about studio interference with Warner Bros. I think Disney is 10 times worse with studio interference. Whether we realize it or not, they are. They took the first draft of pretty much every movie of the trilogy, sequel trilogy. They took the first draft of all those and just pushed them out and tried to just make money. They were just a big money grab, and it worked. They made billions of dollars off of it, but at the same time, they were just money grabs.
Right.
And there was a massive studio interference.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, the rumors of Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau trying to reboot the sequel trilogy and make those non-canon. And the article that I just read comes from a little more, I mean, there's two sources that are actually saying that now. But And I think
nothing
that's
confirmed.
Why. Nothing absolutely confirmed. But, you know, there's two sources versus one saying that now. But here is the question that I pose. How bad do these Star Wars movies need to be to take them out of canon when the Star Wars Holiday Special from 1979, while the movie itself is not canon, there are certain aspects of it that are still canon. So how bad does a movie have to be in the Star Wars universe to completely disavow it?
I don't know. I'll put it this way. I can sit through the sequel trilogy. I'll be peeved and irritated. I cannot sit through the Holiday Special.
You're talking about the original one?
Yeah.
I mean, I can honestly see that because I've only seen it once, and once was enough for me. But there are aspects of it that are actually not horrible. The way they introduced Boba Fett wasn't bad in that. In that movie?
Yeah.
But pretty much everything else is?
Yeah. So what you're saying is the only decent part of the Holiday Special is Boba Fett's decent introduction.
Right.
I can pick out at least three moments from every sequel trilogy that I thought were either good or decent.
Yeah. But, and I understand that, but the thing is so it is widely known throughout Star Wars fandom that the Holiday Special from 1979, not the new one that they came out with, the Lego one, but the 79 Holiday Special was just absolutely the worst movie in the worst thing to have Star Wars.
For those of you that have not seen it, all I'm going to say is Luke Skywalker with eyeliner. That's how bad it is.
Look, if you want to see it, you can look it up on YouTube. They have
Don't
it on
watch
YouTube.
It. It'll ruin everything for you for a child 5 days.
Oh, but it's not. Yeah.
It's terrible.
It is?
Chewbacca in a dress, Luke Skywalker with eyeliner. Oh, come on now. That's pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
A lady Wookiee? Come on. That's terrible. I'm not saying Wookiees can't be ladies, but like,
Chewbacca and his family.
The only person to ever have a pink lightsaber was a lady Wookiee.
Yeah. No, I meant
Rose lightsaber.
No, I meant like an actual, like it looked like a female, but with a bunch of hair.
So it's
fucking Jennifer Rabbit of Wookiees.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering it right.
I think you are.
Anyway.
78.
Rebooting the sequel trilogy.
Right. So for me, I would like, I'm on both sides of it. On one hand, I can understand why people would not want it to be touched, because even though the sequel trilogy, especially The Last Knight, was not up to any Star Wars standards at all when it comes to storytelling.
The Last Jedi.
Wow.
There you go. You said The Last Knight. I was like, this isn't...
Star Wars Revenge of the Fallen.
Jedi, roll out.
Sorry.
I am Luke Skywalker of planet Tatooine.
You have killed my father. Prepare to die.
John Wick Wookie.
Oh, I want to know who killed my swamp rat. Who bullseyed my swamp rat in a T-16 Skyhopper? That's Jedi. Sorry. Look, I don't know what to tell you.
We have a Mace Windu. We have a Hulk. What the fuck is the series coming into?
I have an army. I have Anakin Skywalker.
I have an army. I've committed thousands of war crimes. I have an army. Yeah, what of it? I have like 500 of them birthing right now, my guy. Try me.
I have an army. We have Kamino.
I have an army. Cool.
I have four.
So anyways, I started blasting. I have an army.
The most menacing lines ever. I am Iron Man and General Kenobi.
I have an army. Hello there.
General Kenobi.
General Kenobi, I have an army. Hello there. I have Darth Maul.
The universe is breaking on itself now.
I have an army. I have a T-16 Skyhopper.
I have only one X-Wing. And a great lightsaber.
I have an army. Darth Sidious laughing menacingly, knowing he has like five of them. Cool story, bro. Execute Order 66.
I have an army. Execute Order 66. Now I have your army. Anyway.
They're pulling a marble. They're just using the time shed and going back.
What's wrong?
I'm going to ask some people, right? We know that the light speed is on, guys. Sorry. Working on it.
Idea line for the sequel trilogy was to kill off the original characters. They killed Han in the first one.
Fucking shock value.
Screen closure, I think.
Because Harrison Ford was not going to do another whole trilogy of sequels, so you have the perfect character that doesn't want to keep being his character to write off.
Which is kind of sad because he was literally like my favorite character in that movie.
And I get that, but they could have done it. They could have done it a lot better, in my opinion.
I think that was a pretty good way to do it. Because that
you know what's strange,
the whole process of the other two movies of like, oh, am I gonna be good or bad? You know.
Yeah.
So Harrison Ford said he didn't want to do any more like movies as Han Solo. Like he didn't want to do any more Star Wars. But yet. Couple years later, he's now filming a new Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
Right now.
He broke. He's money.
That is Lucasfilm's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucasfilm. That's George Lucas and Steven Spielberg.
But is it anymore? Lucasfilm's is Disney.
Still.
So is George Lucas still doing that stuff?
I would think so.
It's Disney, I think.
Well, yeah, but, like, is Disney letting him be the person?
Who? Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones?
No, George Lucas as director or whatever he was.
Oh, no, I don't think George Lucas has any ties to this.
Mm. Huh. It's interesting.
It is. But anyway.
Is Steven Spielberg a part of it?
I would think so. I would hope so.
He was on something Disney, wasn't he? No, he was on, that's Universal. Ready Player One? Isn't he?
No, I don't think that was Disney.
Ready Player One.
I didn't say it was Disney. I think it's Universal. So.
It's possible. I'm not.
What's the Iron Giant?
Oh, God. Not yeah. Disney. No, it
is
Disney.
Disney. Yeah. Iron Giant's Disney. Jurassic Park is Disney, isn't it?
No, Jurassic Park is Amblin Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
which is
really took from anyway.
Steven Spielberg.
Oh, yeah.
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 I don't know.
Oh, it ended.
Yes, I know.
Okay. So there's one thing that I kind of wanted to look at today, look at tonight, and that was conspiracy theories and fan theories about movies. And the reason why is because, well, the one that I really wanted to talk about is the Back to the Future theories.
Okay.
Because there's one in particular that I read about. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. So there's one in particular that I wanted to talk about, and Alex, I'm sure you've heard about this one. So one of the prevailing theories for Back to the Future is that Marty McFly has actually died multiple times throughout the trilogy. And the reason why we don't see it is because Doc Brown, you know, would watch Marty die, but then he would go back in time to save him. One of the biggest prime examples is in Back to the Future 2, on the top of this tower, right before Biff gets ready to shoot Marty. This is after Marty confronted Biff, Almanac. And right before Biff is getting ready to shoot Marty, Doc Brown just so happens to be right below Marty so that Marty can jump off the building and land on the DeLorean, and then it raises up and smacks Biff in the face.
That just sounds like movie magic. That sounds like the oldest trick in the book.
Right.
Have that falling thing. I don't think Gandalf had his eagle ready because of time travel. You know, I don't think that, you know, every single Disney movie that has a bird involved in it was there because of time travel. I think that's just a really old movie trick.
Right, but the movie and the trilogy centers around time travel. So,
I don't think it changes who's writing the story, though. And who's writing the story makes a lot of movie cliches.
This is true, and you're right.
Especially in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of references to, like, Clint Eastwood's old movies, especially in the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, there's a lot of movie cliches throughout the entire trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting, let's see if I can find it. Let's see if I can actually find it. Find the theory.
I actually follow this, these people on the talk, and they do theories almost every single day on shows and movies and books.
Okay.
And they find the most insane shit. That, like, this is, like, this is like a prevailing theory, right? But they find those theories that like nobody talks about but make 100% sense. And I wish I could think of the one that they were talking about, because it was about a movie that I really like. But it made me just look at the movie completely different. And there's always just that one theory that makes you look at a movie completely different.
Yeah. So here's the actual theory.
Okay.
Marty McFly actually dies in Back to the Future 2, but Doc Brown travels back in time to save him. The theory here goes that Doc accidentally altered the space-time continuum, facilitating an alternate future in which Marty is killed in the tunnel while attempting... Okay, so this is the tunnel scene. While attempting to steal the sports almanac from Biff. Learning of these fateful consequences, Doc gets there just in time to throw Marty a line to save him from colliding with Biff's car. How else would Doc have known to show up at the exact right place and time if not for some future revelation? So there's actually two points in Back to the Future 2 where Doc Brown just so happens to save Marty McFly.
Marty McFly must be very accident prone if he's dying all these times and Doc has to keep going back.
Or he's just not a superhero. Like, there's so many times where he should die and like these movies should just not happen, and then they do because ignorant luck.
Well, that's the theory, is that, you know, Marty did actually die,
mm-hmm.
and Doc Brown went back in time to prevent that from happening.
Because that kind of leads into, so there's one that says Doc Brown kills Marty.
Okay, yeah.
And so at the conclusion of Back to the Future, time-traveling Marty returns from 1955 to witness 1985 Marty disappearing in the DeLorean. Well, that's presumably Marty heading back to 1955. One theory has been that Doc Brown is sending 1985 Marty either to his death or exiling him in time to make room for the returning 1955 Marty. Had he allowed 85 Marty to continue living, he could have gone back to 1955 and Marty already there. That or two versions of Marty would have been running around Hill Valley in 1985. Although Christopher Lloyd dismissed the theory, saying Doc would never send Marty off to his death in any kind of scenario, Doc couldn't live with that.
Yeah.
But it's plausible. In the theories of Back to the Future and how they worked time travel, it's plausible.
Yeah.
Because they really gave a lot of leeway to time travel.
They did. But the prevailing problem with that is that Doc would have had to have known all along. Well, I mean, I guess he would if he had the letter in his pocket.
Yeah. Like, the whole thing still ties together.
Or...
But you have two Martys running around.
No, but he knew... So, the opposite to that would be that he would have had to find a way to force Marty into the DeLorean to go back in time. That he accidentally left. Because if Marty... Because in Back to the Future, and Austin and I were actually talking about time travel the other night. So in Back to the Future, time exists as a cause and effect type scenario.
Right.
Which is going to lead me into one of my other issues that I have with the movie, but we'll get to that here in a minute. So in the first movie, Doc has this letter from Marty since the beginning of the movie, presumably, 1955. And okay. Hey. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I think we're good. Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Okay. So, unfortunately, we had a little bit of technical difficulties, and I'm estimating here about the next 5 minutes we'll be disconnected again, simply because of how Blog Talk deals with disconnects. It keeps the host connected, but not connected.
We'll just have to see how it goes.
Okay. Anyway.
Telling you, anytime I see the frames dropping, I know that the Wi-Fi is going to go out.
Yeah.
I know that that's going to always be the problem. And I've been sitting here watching it at like 30% drop frames, and I was like, something's about to happen, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
As soon as I walked out of the room to get a hold of one of the kids, the other one was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Daddy's going to be mad, but...
Wi-Fi's down.
Wi-Fi's down.
And all of a sudden we get that bee bee bee, which is really nasty in the background. Anyway. So.
Looking right now. 0% drop frames. Crazy.
That's good.
I don't
know. Until Blog Talk figures out that the whole thing is not connected.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Tennessee or if it's just our area, but it has been a nonstop issue since we've moved here.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the, back to the show.
Yeah.
One of the biggest issues that I have with Back to the Future. Now, we all know that I absolutely love this trilogy. In my opinion, it's probably one of the most perfect trilogies out there. It's because of, a bunch of different factors, the writing, special effects and all that.
I can confidently say I do not agree, but
yeah, I don't know. Well, it depends. So I had this conversation with my buddies a couple weeks back, and we were talking about how our favorite, like our top three movie trilogies. And I can confidently say I would not put Back to the Future in my top five, but,
okay.
You know,
I can agree.
It's the same thing with like Star Wars. You just have to have that taste for it.
I think that Back to the Future, the first one, is an okay movie. I think it's an okay movie. I don't think it's a great movie. I think that it's something I can watch. I do not think that two or three are good at all.
Okay.
Hot take. I don't think I've ever heard... Well, I mean, I've heard that people don't like Back to the Future before, but for it to be, on average, a decent to okay movie trilogy... I mean, I don't think I've seen two. I haven't seen one of them, but I can confidently say not in my top 10 movie trilogies.
Really?
I don't remember seeing
top five,
three.
Sorry.
I don't remember seeing three. I have seen three because I live with a lot of people. Yeah. So I have seen three. I don't remember it. I regret watching two after the last time we watched one because I was like, yeah, that was an okay movie. I mean, it can only get from here. And then I watched two and I was like, no. And I just didn't watch three again.
For me, though, Back to the Future is one of the few trilogies that I like to watch in succession. Like, I like all three movies. I like the stories.
I can't say that there's a lot of trilogies that I like better, especially because, like, I don't see Star Wars as a trilogy. It's weird that they call them, like, three trilogies. It really is, like...
Well, it's a saga.
Yeah, it's a saga, just like Harry Potter, just like Transformers.
You see, I'm the same way. I don't really see... There's separate trilogies within the saga, but if I'm talking about my favorite trilogies, I don't include Star Wars because that's one whole saga.
There's absolutely no replay buffer, which means that I'm hearing him twice at the same time.
Okay.
I was freaking out.
Okay. Well, I like the trilogy. I think it is one of the better not only sci-fi trilogies out there, but one of the better time travel sagas.
You see, I don't like time travel movies or movies that deal with time travel.
I do, but Back to the Future is a bit outdated for that.
I think it's outdated because of it's just a generational thing.
It is.
Well, it's like that time travel doesn't even, not even like people that don't know about time travel don't believe in it anymore. Like that.
Right, but we did because
in
the 80s, look at all the cool things that they were doing with the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we.
Well, that's exactly
really
what
Mandalorian.
That's exactly what the DeLorean is back in the 1930s when they were first having like those science conventions. The flying car was the first one that people thought was amazing and astonishing and was going to be the future of cars. And so that's exactly what the resurgence of it was in the 80s for that movie.
Well, the thing is, and one of the reasons why I think that maybe this generation doesn't really like time travel movies is the fact that, so back in the 80s, we didn't have information at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't able to have access to, you know, scientific knowledge, scientists at all.
Mm-hmm.
And time travel was always a fascination. It was a big fascination in the 80s, because there's a lot of movies that deal with time travel in the 80s. Some of it bleeding over into the 90s and 2000s, but a lot of it was late 70s into the 80s.
Well, I think the big thing about now, I think that's why fantasy and role playing and all that is such big things now, is because it's one of the only things that people realize now will never have an answer. Whereas time travel over time has exponentially had not only disputed answers, but has new ones, and those new ones are becoming more and more scientifically factual. Same thing with space travel, same thing with aliens, same thing with even magic to a degree. Like there was a time whenever even in the 20th century where people were like witchcraft.
Right.
Like, ooh, scary.
Yeah.
Even that's gone away. And so that's why fantasy movies and games and all that are having such a resurgence, is because it's literally one of the only things you can't dispute because it already didn't exist.
Right. And I think that's why science fiction is having such a hard time right now, is because back before we had all these new discoveries, like you were saying, people could just think of something and just be like, oh, you know, it's science fiction, like warp drive.
Yeah.
You know, we know to a degree with our level of physics that faster than light travel is not possible.
Yeah.
In the way that, you know, a lot of these science fiction sagas, Star Wars, Star Trek, and, you know, like even Firefly, how they get around that is that Star Wars does hyperdrive, which I don't remember exactly how it works.
It bends where you are and the thing that you're trying to go to, and it bends the space between it closer, right?
Not really.
I think that's warp travel.
That's warp travel?
That's warp. So hyperdrive?
Yeah.
It's basically like nitrous or turbo in a car. It just makes you go faster, but this is like times 1,000, and that's why it takes special fuel and stuff like that. But it just makes your spaceship go very fast through hyperspace travel lanes. If you don't go through those lanes, then you can smack into a planet and potentially wipe out an entire race.
I think that's why Star Wars is the one that you can dispute, whereas Star Trek isn't, because it's like, yeah, you could probably bend space. Like, it's dealing with space instead of the physics of light.
Yeah.
That's what Star
Wars
is.
Yeah, it's not the vehicle's not actually traveling faster than the speed of light, what it's doing is it's warping the space-time around it and kind of taking it out of that, like out of the dimension, and then moving it to another.
Which used to be the dumb answer, but it's the only answer right now that we have to go with.
Yeah. Yeah. Were ignorant of space travel.
Yeah.
The most we knew about space travel was rockets going up into space and going to the moon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of fast, of traveling faster than light was still a concept. And now, you know, again, with our physics, some light travel is next to impossible.
Yeah.
Are we having problems again?
Just cut off for no reason. So
okay.
There's a new live again.
Yeah, I thought it did there for a second because it went quiet. I was like, oh, man. There it goes again.
It just spotted, but, like, that was completely random, so. Whatever.
But
I think that it's just something that, I think science fiction, like many other genres, like horror, it's either going to resurge or it's going to go away. It's like we shouldn't treat these things as things, like perfect things that will never improve or be deleted. Because we see it with fashion trends, we see it with book trends, we see it with trends now, like trends are trends now.
Yeah.
That is a big thing now. Whereas before it was just a word that you could use after it happened. It's now a word that you use during the happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's either going to have to figure out a way to adapt or science fiction is just going to go because there's better ways of telling those stories now.
Well, I think a lot of feedback.
That's not feedback. That's just Alex trying to stay cool.
That's ambient noise. No, you're fine. I think right now we're seeing a decline in science fiction as a general genre.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because it's not, number one, it's not the trend.
Yeah.
And number two, it's trying to figure out how to incorporate science fiction and science fact and then the rules of science fact to the point where people are like, oh yeah, that could be plausible.
Like
Tenet?
Tenet was a pretty good example.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Tenet's one of those movies which they do all the time, but, you know, now you can Google it instead of having to have a degree. They just use big words to make it sound like they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah. The thing is like with Tenet, with a lot of these movies that are going to delve into science fiction, what they're going to do is they're going to say, oh, well, that's future tech. And
yeah.
Now we've got it, and now we're using it.
Well, it's also a big thing of, I think that there's just some things that are done, right? Like the 90s and the early 2000s really hit hard with future.
Yes.
Not only what the future holds, but like, let's say you're in the present future and now you can utilize this. Not what could it be, it's this is what it is and now we're going to talk about it. And so you had that with obviously started in the 80s, blah, 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 but like Terminator. And
yeah.
Then you had it as late with now of Halo. You have in between there, like, all the resurgence of the Alien movie and the game. You have Interstellar and fucking the one where he ate potatoes. I don't remember what. Martian. Where he was the first man on Mars.
Yeah. And he had to...
Yeah, he had to make poop potatoes.
Yeah. Well, the thing
is... That is a close future.
Right. Well, The Martian is more based in science fact than it is science fiction, but it's stretching science fact.
It's something we can't do right now.
Not right now.
Right now, it's science fiction. Maybe in the future, it'll be science fact.
I think it's the same thing
that
people are just saying, like, magic is just science we don't understand yet.
Right.
And so, to us, that doesn't exist yet. No matter how factual it might be.
The thing is, for movies like Martian, The Martian and Red Planet, and there was another one, came out the same time as Red Planet about going to Mars. Because that was kind of a thing back in the 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. Is that we do have, right now, in today's time period, we do have the technology to be able to go to Mars. It would take 6 months for us to get there.
Yeah.
We have the technology to go to Mars. We have the technology and the knowledge to be able to colonize Mars to a point. We just don't have the resources or the funds.
Yeah.
And it's like very scary to go into space for 6 months and then maybe die because you did something wrong. You know, there's the human aspect of it too.
Right. I think maybe in another 50 years we'll be to the point to where we can actually start doing that. That's why
colonizing Mars, sending people there?
Sending people to Mars. Not colonizing it per se, but actually sending people
to
Mars.
I think
the first people to Mars.
Yes.
I think if the sun doesn't burn through the world 10 years for me. I mean, 10 years will have sent one person to Mars.
I think it will happen in the next 1,000 years is my answer. We just never know what technology is going to have. That's what I was going to bring up about The Martian. Like, the science fiction, and then maybe in the future it'll be a fact. Like, oh, we kind of predicted that. But it's like the future, you can't really predict it. You can kind of assume what's going to happen. But nobody knows what's going to happen, like, tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. You just...
We've made the most dangerous place to live ever, if you really think about it. Right now we are making electronics that can kill us. We have enough nukes on the world to blow up 3,000 Earths.
Mm-hmm.
We are slowly letting the sun in like a blind that is slowly getting opened by the drawstring. Like, what I want to see in the next 10 years is somebody actually going, you know what, I'll build a resource handy solar panel. Like, just somebody go, you know what, maybe this is a problem.
Well, we do have that already here.
Yeah.
It's just, and a lot of those problems that you were talking about, we do have not really fixes or solutions, but ways that we can combat that and prevent it from further happening.
I think that what just sucks is living in a capitalist country, because you go, I want to do this thing that can save 1,000 lives, and somebody goes, how much will it cost? And it's like...
Or you have the issue of... So we'll take the electric car, for example. The electric car was actually patented shortly after the internal combustion engine. And the issue was...
But one's a simpler answer.
One's a simpler answer and a more profitable one.
We always go with the more profitable one.
Exactly.
The way that I kind of see it is like they're both going to mess up the Earth somehow. So what they were thinking back in the day was like, well, we might as well just go for the one that makes more money, and then we'll let future people worry about that problem.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that's the...
At the end of the day, one, it really isn't going to mess up the world. Because if we convert everything, if everything on the world turned into the answer that everybody has said that this is the better answer. If we could just flip the switch and everything did that, we could literally heal the Earth.
Yeah.
But
the Earth will heal itself.
It would take too much time.
But combustion engines are cooler.
I know. I fucking hate that so much. We were watching Grand Tour today.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off, where he was like, you know, Jeremy Clarkson, the one of the only people that hates electric cars.
Yeah.
And one of his only answers for it is, oh, well, it's not fast enough. Or, oh, well, it doesn't sound cool enough. And it's like, the other one kills 20 birds every time you start your engine.
And the thing is they're building electric cars now that
are really cool.
They are. They are. They're so much better than...
They're doing that now, though. Like, back in the 90s and, well, from, like, 70s to 90s, people were building all these cool cars that people liked, and that's just what stuck. And then now you kind of have to catch those people's attention again.
Right.
That's kind of what they're doing with, like, Tesla and stuff like that.
And not to make it in a morbid way, but we don't have time on this Earth to wait for the older generations to die. We don't have that time to only have the people that have grown up with this stuff. We need the older generations who already are running these companies and already have the money to do it to be like, hey, can you just, you know, save the world?
Yeah.
Because... Well. What am I supposed to do?
Way,
like, yes, I could start a company. Yes, I could start a company, but, like, these people already have the companies. They just don't want to do it.
No, except for Elon Musk.
Mm. True.
Who is, you know...
I mean, there's multiple companies that are doing it. I'm just
right.
saying they're not the biggest ones.
No.
And that's what is...
Yeah, Tesla's the biggest one that we have.
Yeah.
Because Tesla does have...
cars. That's not even our biggest...
No.
Because
Tesla does have solar panels for homes where you can get solar energy, and they have batteries that are stored. So during the night, you use that electricity, and then they're replenished during the day. The problem is, the problem with that, and this is getting way off the topic of any cinephiles thing, but the problem with that is legislation.
True.
There are, like here in the state of Tennessee, it is illegal for you to collect rainwater. To use.
Why?
Because
they realize that the
rainwater, don't tell them.
The rainwater is probably cleaner than the water we have.
Yeah.
That's why. If you think about companies like Hallsdale Powell, they do not want you to take money away from them.
Yeah. That's the reason.
But the thing is if those companies switch to a new brand, the new brand that everybody wants, then they would still make as much money.
Yeah.
Especially when
it comes
to like solar panels.
I don't have to worry about that problem. We have a well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most people should, honestly.
Yeah.
If I could suggest anything about a house, it's a well.
Yeah, we're not allowed to have those kind of things. If we do that in Tennessee, like if you go fully off the grid in Tennessee and you have children, it's considered child endangerment.
It is. Yeah, which is weird because in other states, obviously most of us, normal human beings. I actually don't know about Alex. But most of us follow TikTok.
Yeah.
We all have our own preferences on who we follow.
Yeah.
I have a lady who just up and decided she was going to practice this summer living off the grid. She has property. She has a house. All that stuff. But her and her son moved into a very large tent on her property to test it out. And in their state, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think in any state there should be, as long as you're, like she said, he homeschools, he has food, he has shelter, he bathes, like everything is taken care of.
Yeah.
As long as
like
his basic needs are being met and he's not in danger, there should be nobody that can step in and say, you're endangering your kids. Not really. I'm keeping them safe from y'all.
Like every single home or rented home, not an apartment, but every single home or rented home in Tennessee, for the most part, has a backyard or has a front yard or has a side yard. That's enough room to have a farm. That's enough room to have a well. We could be fully sustainable and also, and I know this is getting pretty socialism and communism, but we could be fully sustainable, but our government, the ones that are supposed to be looking out for us, don't want that.
Right.
And that's shitty.
Yeah.
That's pretty shitty.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Falling from Grace podcast now.
So anyway, rebooting the trilogy of Star Wars.
The last 2 weeks.
Today we'll be talking about Star Wars. 30 minutes later. So yeah, we can't collect rainwater.
government anarchism.
I didn't mean for it to get on to...
become ungovernable.
to get on to this topic. But, I mean, and I were doing this the other night.
Yeah.
We have a really bad habit of...
I can't stay on one topic.
Yeah.
I have, like, multiple medical conditions that tell me why I can't.
Yeah.
If you think about it, they can't take us all out.
No, but in order for us to take out the government, we would need F-15s and nuclear weapons, according to Biden. Anyway, moving on.
We need a Death Star.
That's a weird
Death Star. Yes.
Many. What we can just do what Fallout did, where they put a nuclear stuff, and then they put it into a robot. We just take the Death Star, make it really tiny, and then we all have portable weapons.
Okay. When you find the kyber crystals and the energy to fire that weapon, call me.
Is it powered by kyber crystals?
Yeah, it is.
That's why Ilum got totally destroyed during the Age of the Empire. Ilum being the kyber crystal, one of the kyber crystal planets of Star Wars.
What power? See, now we're on movies, so I'm gonna ask these random ass questions.
Okay, no, that's fine.
What powers what is it, like the International Battle Station or whatever the fuck it's called? The one in the sequels. The one that the planet that they turned into a fucking...
That is Ilum.
Yeah.
That is Ilum?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
fucking
cool.
They turned the core of Ilum and like all the stuff the Empire...
Come on, that's cool.
You
guys are going to do some sequels for that? That's fucking cool.
That's what I meant earlier by I can name three things from each sequel movie that... is still better than the holiday special. That is one of them. That's pretty freaking cool.
That's
so
cool.
The sequel trilogy has some really good concepts, some really good ideas with it.
Weapon of mass genocide took out a whole star system.
Yeah, that
awesome.
Was that scene where they actually quote unquote test fired it and took out like 8 planets. Was fucking insane. That was one of the coolest scenes I have ever seen.
It was. And I'm not saying that...
Kylo Ren just standing there looking at the beam go by knowing he's about to kill trillions of people.
Immediately? Yeah.
So I'm not saying that there weren't parts within the trilogies that were not good. What I am saying is that as a whole, the sequel trilogy... as a storyline based on the Star Wars universe, was not good. It could have been 100% better. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that agree with me. But there were instances within movies that were pretty good. I will say I liked Kylo Ren as a bad guy.
Kylo Ren and Finn. I liked Kylo Ren throughout the whole trilogy, even when he went back to Ben Solo.
Mm-hmm.
His character arc is one of the better ones in Star Wars, like not even just the sequels, but in Star Wars.
For sure.
I said the way they disrespected my guy Finn is unforgivable.
That's true. He became nothing, and it was very sad.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where it was like,
he should have been. He was the Jedi we deserved.
Not to put it this way, but they marketed him as they didn't market him. They
portrayed
him as this very strong black character in Star Wars,
uh-huh.
And he had the potential to be a Force user,
uh-huh.
And then he just
faded,
just immediately faded.
So the problem is The Last Jedi, the movie, completely and totally eradicated any hope that we had from
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Because
Skywalker kind of reignited that, kind of poked that bear again, because I think what Finn was trying to tell Rey throughout the whole movie was that he was force sensitive or like something was going on with him. That and like how many non-force users do you know can go toe-to-toe with another force user with a lightsaber other than Cad Bane?
It was pretty cool.
It was. And what they should have done is... So honestly, what they should have done is they should have taken away the focus of Rey and made
Finn. They should have just turned Finn's character into Rey, or Rey's character into Finn.
Well, okay, I don't know why. So what I would have done, big director Austin over here, what I would have done is I would have made the first movie about Rey and Finn as two people.
Yeah.
And then have Kylo Ren on the antagonist side.
Yeah.
And then in the second movie, I would have had it to where we see it now, where Rey was doing her thing, and then Ben was doing his thing. And all of that, for the most part, stayed the same. Obviously, that is my least favorite. Last Jedi is my least favorite.
Yeah.
That is, like, whenever it comes to the 9, 8 is the bottom.
Yes.
I can't say the same for 7 and 9. I think that they were actually okay. But 8 is literally bottom of my list out of all the Star Wars movies.
And I think that's something that all of us can agree on, is that 8 was the worst Star Wars movie in canon out there now. It is at the bottom of everybody's list.
I straight up, and I know this is a hot take, I really don't like 4, like at all. I think because it's boring. Not because of anything to do with it. I think it's just boring.
And I can understand that
8
from...
almost put me to sleep.
Yeah. I can understand 4 being boring from your point of view.
Yeah.
It's
just sad that 8 is so much more epic than 4, and it was more boring.
Yeah.
Like, there's more going on, but so much less going on.
Yeah.
And so, but like literally, if you took 8 out or replaced it with a better 8, that trilogy would probably be the best trilogy to me.
So... what they should have done, in my opinion, and this is, you know, Director Dan coming out, is instead of following the formula that has been with Star Wars for so long, instead of, you know, making 7 exactly like 4, exactly like 1, what they should have done.
Yeah, I know. That's the only reason that I can't say it's a bad movie is because we could all agree that
the director was wrong.
It just started... the series just like the other two did.
Yeah.
Which I don't like 4 or 1. My list, whenever it goes from bottom to top, is 8, 4, 1. Like, those are immediately my least 3 favorite movies.
And I see that. My list is different, obviously, because I grew up on it. But what they should have done is they should have, so they did focus on Finn right there at the beginning. And then he escaped and he crashed.
I didn't even finish my thought on that, did I? I went off somewhere else.
You did. But I think we're going the same. I think we're kind of going the same way.
I didn't need the clarification if he was a force user or not. I just think that whenever they made him the leader of the rebels and he took the place of
Han Solo?
No. Or his wife.
Leia.
Whenever he took the place of Leia in the Rebels thing,
yeah,
I think it should have been more epic, not the last 5 minutes of 9.
Well, that was Poe.
It wasn't, though. I mean, they were kind of on the same level, though, but you remember Poe more, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He should have actually been the leader.
So this is what I would have done with the trilogy.
Okay. Because I did like Poe and Finn's dynamic. I liked that they were kind of like brothers.
Yeah, I didn't like Finn. Yeah, it was almost the dynamic between Luke and Han.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, because Luke was a whiny bitch and Han was not.
Yeah, Luke got to have his lightsabers.
In the first one, he was kind of a whiny bitch.
Finn was a whiny bitch, especially the first one.
Right.
That he was in.
Yeah, he was the scared little kid in Poe, and Han was the cool
guy. He was
a
whiny bitch because he was a freaking stormtrooper. He was whiny, and Poe was not. Poe was literally the alter ego of... I mean, he was like the other side of, or the other part of Han Solo.
Right.
Like, he was...
I mean, that's exactly what they were going
for. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to finish my thought real quick.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So what they should have done was they should have, you know, continued with Finn crash landing on the planet and meeting up with Rey and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Now, the twist that should have happened is that Rey is not a Force user at all. She's literally, and go with me on this,
okay.
She's literally just somebody that helps Finn become part of the Resistance and, you know, kind of helps guide him through this journey.
She should have been more of an engineer character. She's in and out of starships and stuff all the time.
Yeah.
She should have been more of a cool character.
Let me propose something
character.
To you. Let's make
Finn should have been the... Finn should have been the Force user.
See, the only problem I have with that is let's make Finn white and call him Luke, and then let's make Rey and name her Leia, and you just made the original movies. Is the problem with that is you just
but Luke wasn't
the exact...
a stormtrooper.
Right. Yeah, but Luke was the lightsaber guy, and Leia was
right.
The Jedi,
I mean,
and that's
you kind of have
what
a.
That was.
So you're
that
saying that Finn
that
a Leia position, like they just gender swapped them?
Yeah, I think they gender swapped them, but Finn wasn't as cool, and I think that was the problem with it. Is I would have been completely fine with the dynamic they had, especially putting Pino up front. But Finn didn't have enough of his job, like they just didn't serve him up enough of his time. They were just like, oh, he can be the helping character, and then they made him a guest star.
The only issue that I have with that still follows the same formula of the orphan that becomes the savior of the galaxy.
Exactly, but they gender swapped it, which I think is enough to change it instead of just almost making the exact same thing. Because
right,
Finn
but
is
there
also
wasn't anything interesting about Rey other than she was a female Jedi.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
like,
there but
there
wasn't
anything
okay.
about her character.
We've had other female Jedi's that are way more interesting, way more powerful, and just better overall.
Yeah, but I could make that same argument for Luke, because they have almost the exact same thing. So if you're saying she's...
But Luke is the original story. He was the farm boy orphan from Tatooine that got taught some basic Jedi stuff from Obi-Wan, and then he became this hero of the galaxy. Rey... is literally a carbon copy, just a female.
And
like, there's nothing,
there's
nothing special about Rey.
They copied the original movies. We all know that.
Yeah.
If they would have switched it back and just had the male be the male and the girl be the girl, they would have just been more boring, because that's just what you're describing.
No, but the thing is...
The boy being
different.
The boy and the girl being the girl. That would have just been the same movie as four.
I'm not trying to make it about, like, a gender thing.
No, not
I'm
you.
Saying,
what Father was talking about.
I'm saying Finn being the Jedi lightsaber-wielding character would have made a way more interesting
story arc. Yeah.
Because he was a stormtrooper that saw the error of the First Order, didn't really, like, he wasn't down with it. He meets up with Poe. I think Poe should have been the Leia character. Like, that, you know how they had that relationship? That should have been, like, the bromance of the sequel trilogy. You know what I mean? Like, you know how Luke and Leia kind of had that relationship of understanding each other and knowing what has to be done and whatnot?
And then they kiss once and nobody talks about it.
Yeah,
they should have had that. And Finn be the Jedi, so he lands on... Jakku. They see Rey. Rey has scavenged all these Star Destroyers for years now. She knows ins and outs of them. She could have been this great engineer. And then
she could have been the Han Solo.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They find the Millennium Falcon, and Rey is like, "Oh man, I could totally fix this," because we all know the Millennium Falcon's a piece of shit, but it's cool.
I think the problem.
And
the
then
problem
they
with this
go and whatever.
With this is that all three of them, besides, like, Force using, all three of them have the exact same character traits. They all know how to fly planes. They all know how to get into and out of enemy things. And they all have ties with the Rebellion.
Are you saying now, or...?
No, for most of the movies, they just know...
Okay.
They have almost the exact same, like, talents. There's no contrast to have an actual team.
I mean, we could obviously change that. If we were to rewrite the sequels, we could obviously change that because it's different character traits and stuff like that. But
what they've given us, it would be hard to switch them around because then it would just be the same shit.
What I think they also should have done in the sequel trilogy is at the beginning of The Last Jedi, when Rey hands Luke the lightsaber, he just throws it away and goes off and runs off. He has gone from whiny little bitch boy farmer to badass Jedi to whiny little bitch old man.
Well, I mean, just an old man, like I would say a hardened old man. Like, he is the Logan of this universe.
Right, but they...
Which, honestly, was one of the only parts of The Last Jedi that I liked, was just him not giving a fuck.
But that does not... The thing is, that's not in...
Right, but they kind of... Not really disrespected, I wouldn't say disrespected, but...
No, that's actually
they
a good
kind
word.
They kind of took away from Luke's character by him just seeing his father's lightsaber that he hasn't seen since his father lopped his hand off. They just hooked it behind his back. Like, that's just way outrageous. If I was creating Luke Skywalker and taking him from Return of the Jedi and then still having him go through what he went through in between the two trilogies, there's no way in hell he's just looking at that lightsaber and be like, fuck it, and just tossing it behind his back. He's going to have some type of emotional, like,
but whenever it comes
like, wow,
to, whenever it comes to
my father,
it was good, because if you remember, the
they
original,
made a joke out of it.
You have Yoda, and he is like the old guy that is good and wise, and then you have Darth Vader, who is this old guy that is fucking evil because, you know, he's just bad. He's a broken man, he's bad. And then you have the only real definition in the movie of a great Jedi where he's just in the middle, does not give a fuck, chaotic Luke.
Right.
And I think I like that because he is in the middle of those two people that were his... you know, father figures or mentors, whatever you want to call them, the people that change his life. He is in between the two of them.
So the problem is,
he is the balance of force.
What they tried to do is they tried to make Luke the Yoda of this trilogy. And the thing is Luke ran away because once it turned bad. Yoda ran away because the entire Jedi Council fell. And the dark side took over, and in order for him to not die, to be able to possibly train and guide other Jedi to stop the Empire, he had to go into hiding. Luke ran away. Yoda went to hiding.
Yeah,
the thing
is, that was like the whole point of the 8th movie, was talking about how he ran away.
Right, that's not what his character did.
But he kind of was. There was a lot of times where he was just a coward in the old movies, but he had to do things. This was the one opportunity in these movies that we've seen so far where he was an actual coward, and for the most part, until, you know, 20 years later, we see that there's actual consequences for it. This was the first result of, there would be no consequences. I'm going to run away.
But Luke wasn't a coward. Luke was always going
to face that. Not really play devil's advocate, but so George Lucas wrote many novels of what happened after episode 6, and coming from the guy who wrote that character and knows that character the best out of anybody in the whole wide world, he wrote Luke as this sort of, like, not badass character, but kind of the epitome of a perfect Jedi. And he didn't fear the dark side. He didn't have any fear. He had fears, of course, but, like, he didn't fear the dark side and what could have happened. He just kind of went with the flow. But Luke, in the sequels, Luke just straight up bitches over the dark side. Like, he smells one little whiff of the dark side in his nephew and tries. That is not Luke Skywalker. I don't care. That's not Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, but what... Like, if he's just not this, because Yoda, because we're going off of older tropes, Yoda was unflawed, basically. He was the perfect wise Jedi that you have, and then the dark side is every single kind of flaw you can have. You're angry, you're all these things. Luke in this new movie was just a guy. He was just flawed. He was just, you know, he wasn't this perfect character.
The problem is if you look at Luke's evolution throughout the original trilogy, number one, I can name, you know, three or four instances where Luke wasn't a coward and didn't run away. He faced his father.
I'm not saying he ran away. I'm saying that he had to do what he had to do. He enjoyed doing it. And this was one of the first instances that we can see canonically, like, what happened in the movie, not in books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think the previous things were cowardly,
though.
He had
a chance to run away.
The thing is so...
And we have all of these stories where these great heroes just find their breaking point. You know, you always have the old general trope where, you know, the person that said he was always perfect, and then you find out the stories aren't true when you finally meet your hero.
Luke isn't one of those type of people to abandon his friends. Like, if you...
Exactly. It's that twist that you're not looking for.
Just because it's a twist that we aren't looking for doesn't mean it belongs in the story or is a good twist. You know,
I think it was a pretty good twist. I think that as an actual movie, it was a pretty
It just
good
makes
twist.
No sense, though. He caught a whiff of the dark side from his nephew, and his whole order came crashing down because he effed up. And then he knows he messed up, and he can't face his problems head on like he did when he was younger. So he went into not even hiding, he ran away and covered his trail. Like,
because Luke in the story is not the main character. Rey is the main character, which means that
right.
Every other character is the supporting character. They are the people
I'm not
that
saying
have
he's
to show
supposed
her
to be the main character,
hero.
But the Luke Skywalker character isn't a person to fear the dark side to such an extreme to cause this whole mess to happen, you know?
The problem that they did, the biggest issue that they did with Luke is that they made him, you know, such a minor supporting character, even in The Last Jedi. They made him such
I did
a...
like the end, though.
Yeah, that end battle on Crait when he's
mm-hmm.
projecting himself across, that was cool.
Yeah.
That should have been him, though. But
I think that is why he was such, you know, whatever you want to call it. We'll go with the easiest answer of whiny bitch at the beginning of the movie is because you actually get to see, instead of, it's the whole master thing of your master is never actually your master. In a lot of these movies, you are teaching your master as much as the master is teaching you. And Rey changes his mind about being a whiny bitch, and he confronts that. And I think that's much cooler than him just being like, I'm a badass, but, you know, I'm out here just trying to find myself. Oh, Ben's doing crazy shit. Let me go project myself real quick and fuck him up. Like, I don't think that would have been as fun.
The problem is you're looking at it as a like the sequel trilogy. You're not looking at it as the whole saga. The thing is
they're never written as the whole saga. They the movies.
And that's the biggest problem with the sequel trilogy is that they don't coincide with the saga.
I mean all the Star Wars movies are kind of not good at going off of the other saga movies. There's a lot of them that do that. I think that
so the thing is between 1 and 6, and this
yeah.
includes the Clone Wars cartoons.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of little minor details in there
mm-hmm.
that these people that want to do right by Star Wars, Dave Filoni, the biggest one, Dave Filoni, have taken care to make it canonical. So one of the biggest things is that in Episode 3, that's the first time that Anakin and General Kenobi meet.
Mm-hmm.
throughout the entire series of Clone Wars cartoons, Dave Filoni had to make sure that there was no point in the entire six or seven seasons. I think it's seven, right?
Seven.
Yeah. The entire seven seasons where Anakin does not meet General Grievous.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, he does.
Anakin does meet General Grievous a handful of times.
Yeah.
I think he fought him one time.
Yeah, he fought him whenever they were on, it was like Geonosis or something like that. They were on the
Invisible Hand, I think. Not the Invisible Hand. It was that Separatist super weapon. Anakin definitely met General Grievous in the Clone Wars.
What's your point? Why wouldn't he meet him?
Because in episode 3, that's the first time that they met.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't.
So in the movies, yes, that's the first time they met. But in the Clone Wars, they definitely met. In the cartoon.
Yeah, he did a pretty bad job then.
Yeah, Anakin.
I'm pretty sure they've met.
Star Wars and Clone Wars, Anakin and Obi-Wan versus General Grievous. They definitely met before that. That was kind of a mess up on Dave Filoni's part.
There was definitely a time whenever they were fighting on a building and Anakin was helping Kenobi and General Grievous was there and clones were helping them. I very much remember this.
No, because there's posts all over saying that General Grievous and Anakin Skywalker never fought.
Well, maybe they didn't fight, but I'm pretty sure he met him.
I can tell you for a fact that they met in the Clone Wars.
I'm trying to move my stuff out of my way so I can actually...
No, he was always pursuing General Grievous, but they never crossed paths.
Yeah, they do. 100%.
I'm telling you, they don't.
And the Clone Wars, they do.
What do you mean?
The closest they ever got was seeing each other is in the episode Shadow Warrior where Grievous and Anakin are exchanged as hostages. That's it. They never actually met. That was one of Dave Filoni's...
Okay, it wasn't a Anakin... Hi, my name is Anakin Skywalker, General of the Republic Army. Oh, hi, I'm General Grievous, General of the Separatists. It wasn't a formal meeting, but they have seen each other, and they have interacted with one another. They have been in the same shot. They have been in the same 100 yards of each other. They know what each other look like. They know just about everything to know about each other, because they're war generals.
Actually physically
was the scene in the Star Wars movie was that like their first time like knowing about each other's existence?
No, they knew about each other. They just had never
I don't think I'm understanding the canonical point of them not meeting, I guess. Cuz in the movie they know about each other. So why would it matter if they met?
Because of the line that Anakin says to General Grievous.
What does he say?
He says, you're shorter than I expected. Which means he had never physically seen, like, in person.
That's just an insult. I don't understand.
It's talking about the care that was taken to be... It's talking about the care that was taken to continue with the storyline of all six movies, even going outside of these six movies. And you see it in The Mandalorian.
I feel like they definitely have seen each other.
They haven't physically, like, seen each other, like, in person and negotiated and stuff, but Anakin has definitely seen, like, holograms and stuff like that of Grievous. I think in episode 3 he was just being an asshole.
Yeah, and also, what I was thinking of, though, was I was superimposing Anakin for General Kenobi.
Yeah, General Kenobi has fought him many times.
Yeah, but...
That's why Grievous says, the negotiator, we've been expecting you.
Yeah.
You know? And Grievous says, you know...
That is such a... Oh, my God, dude. That is the only thing in 3 that fucking pisses me off. is how lackluster that battle is between the two of them whenever they actually physically confront each other.
Yeah.
Is how, like, just how fast it goes over.
You're talking about on Utapau?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish that was the whole movie. Because that would have, that's just, their chemistry is so cool. One thing
that's why they had more in the Clone Wars.
Yeah,
I know, but
yeah.
It just that's the only part that pisses me off about.
Yeah, it could have been a lot better.
That is my favorite movie. That is like Star Wars 3. But like pisses
the fight between Kenobi and Grievous should have been
longer.
It should have been longer. It should have been comparable to the Duel of Fate in Episode 1.
Yeah,
but if you think about it in terms of like I think we're personally just being kind of lightsaber greedy because if you think about it, in Episode 1, there's, what, two lightsaber battles in the whole thing? There was Qui-Gon Jinn versus Maul, Tatooine, and then the Duel of Fates. In Episode 2, there was the final one with Anakin, Dooku, Yoda, and Obi-Wan. And then in Episode 3, we got, like, four different lightsaber fights in one movie. Like, the rest of the movies, we had one, maybe two lightsaber fights. Episode 3, we had four of them.
I wish like, all of them were Obi-Wan and General Grievous.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I wish we would have had more interaction between those two on the big screen. But
yeah.
I'm just glad that we got Anakin versus Dooku and Obi-Wan. Anakin versus Obi-Wan. Yoda versus, what's his name?
Palpatine.
Palpatine. We got Mace Windu and the rest of the council versus Palpatine.
I wish Obi-Wan and General Grievous was the same energy as Anakin versus Obi-Wan. That's what
I don't think that energy can be matched, dude. I get chills every time I watch that. It makes me want to cry.
I just mean like general versus general. I wish
the thing is it's bad guy versus good guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the energy that we get with Obi-Wan and Grievous.
Mm-hmm.
With Anakin and Obi-Wan, brother versus brother.
It's this thing that Grievous and Obi-Wan have been hunting each other down forever.
Right.
And then it's just such a quick battle. Like, to me, that is more of a
thing.
Like, I wish the other one would be shorter, but more heartfelt. Like, they already know each other's fighting styles. It's going to be a fast battle because they know exactly what's about to happen. But, like, Grievous and Obi-Wan take this long battle because they're supposed to be unpredictable generals.
Right.
That's why Anakin versus Obi-Wan is so long, though, is because they know each other's fighting styles, so they're always coming back at each other with something. Because they know what each other's going to do.
The biggest difference is that Obi-Wan was trying to kill Grievous. I mean, that was his main goal. And
capture
the final battle,
kill.
What's that? Capture or kill. Yeah. The difference in that scene and the scene between Anakin and Obi-Wan was in defensive mode most of the time during the battle with Anakin. In the battle with Grievous, he was in offensive mode. When Obi-Wan is in offensive mode, he's a fucking badass. But he is...
He's a master of defense, though. Like, he can last a while against the best of the best, as we saw with Anakin, being one of the masters of offense. But, like,
Anakin is literally like the Black Knight of fighting. He uses his lightsaber like he has, like, this giant-ass
ring. Yeah.
And it's cool, but it's such a shit fighting style. Like, it's so bad.
Lightsaber forms 5, which is speed, ferocity, and strength. It's basically to just physically overpower your opponent with however you can. And
yes,
you can definitely see that in the movie.
And it looks cool, but it's like, if you know what swing is about to come, you can kill him instantly.
Right, but that's not
right.
the only one.
It's not all about power with Anakin. Yes, he has a lot of power behind his swings, but it's mainly his age also helps, his youth.
He's fast,
he strikes hard, and
he's precise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just physically dominant over most of his opponents.
And we see there are many times within that fight where Anakin is almost overpowering Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm. Because Obi-Wan knows... The thing is whenever you... Just because Anakin knows Obi-Wan's blocks, Obi-Wan can still block those attacks.
So,
even though he knows how he's blocking them, he knows he's going to block them, but Obi-Wan can still block them. Whereas if Obi-Wan was in offensive mode, knowing just one of Anakin's attacks, you can immediately dodge it and kill him.
Right. The thing
is, just such
is,
a overpowering attack that it's going to take all of your energy.
Anakin was channeling the dark side in that fight, which is why he was so ferocious in his attacks.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying is like, but it'd be really easy.
It would, but that's not what Obi-Wan was trying to do. Obi-Wan was trying
saying,
to subdue him.
I'm just saying as a fighting style.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Right.
It must be.
He's killed a lot of people in lightsaber battles. They're defeated.
Yeah.
At least.
Because they want him to win. I just don't think an actual, like, if you were to put it strategy to strategy, I don't think he would win.
I don't know.
Physical
but, like,
dominance over defense? Like, I don't know. It's not all
about
slow, powerful swings. He's fast,
precise,
powerful. It's all that.
Yeah, but if we switched lightsabers out for swords and they didn't have the force at all, he would immediately die. Like, the actual
there's the difference,
style.
Though, Austin. You got
yeah,
the force
the actual
and a lightsaber
fighting style
is
shit.
Different. Yeah, but not in Star Wars, because it's the force and the lightsaber. It's different than a sword made out of metal, and you actually have to swing it, opposed to just waving around a metal pipe.
Yeah, but that's why they got their air conditioning in it. That makes it balanced.
A sword or a lightsaber?
A lightsaber. They got that little fan that spins, like, you know, it's as weighty as a sword.
The generator?
Yeah.
Yeah, it twists it, but Jedi use the force to counteract that. So it's weightless for them.
What's the point? Why don't they just take the generator out?
It powers the damn lightsaber. You take it out,
well,
you have
I
no
just,
lightsaber.
Well, I mean, the thing that, there's that whole argument of, like, lightsabers have, like, the shit in them that makes them balance just like a sword so that you're not swinging nothing at the end.
Right,
it
it's
makes
a simulated,
it feel like a
sword swing. It's a simulated weight for non-force users, but force
yeah.
users are able to counterbalance that turbine spin, and they're able to get it straight and nice and weightless. That's why, when they say, oh, people that aren't force users can't use a lightsaber. They can. It's just extremely difficult for them.
Hmm. Okay.
Do you know, like, the torque of a drill, like, twist your hand sometimes? It's like that,
yeah.
but all the time in your hand, and you're trying to swing it at the same time. It's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But it almost sounds like a defensive measure for non-force users.
It sort of is. But it is, like, the most efficient way to power a lightsaber. It's like a self-charging battery.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough, but...
And it helps balance the weight of the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And on that note, we've only got about 10 minutes. So, I want to thank all my peoples in the studios. Alex, thank you for joining us, as always.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I mean, I still got to thank my folks.
Yeah.
Austin, thank you for joining us in the studio tonight. Miss Angel, thank you for your two cents.
Yeah, it wasn't much, but, you know, I'm here.
You helped us go off that tangent a little bit and then
yeah,
bring us
listen,
back.
Listen, I was getting attacked by a giant horse fly downstairs, so I thought, what a better place for me to be than up here.
In the studio. The studio is a safe space.
It's like, I can't do it anymore. Let's go upstairs and bug them.
Just so you know, I ended the live, because at some point during that rant, and while I wasn't paying attention, the live went out, so it's just been blank.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess our live feed is over for...
That's what happens whenever you make the producer rant.
I didn't make the producer rant. The producer went on a rant on his own.
Honestly, it's so weird. I do feel like it's probably a Facebook issue. And
no, mine was fully. I think for that last one, it was fully Blog Talk.
So here's the deal, though. I do think we need to go ahead and it cuts Blog Talk and Facebook out of the equation.
Yeah.
We need to go ahead and start looking at.
We
can't keep doing this.
We need to
you guys. We want you guys here and listening, not being like, they're gone again. We're just going to go away.
Yeah. So we need to get some new hardware in the studio again. We need to upgrade some of our software and platforms that we.
Crazy part is Alex doesn't run any of it. He's like, he's always just there sitting.
Well, yeah, I know.
Although he will have to, like, log into Discord and such when we do switch over. And
which means we'll still be doing nothing.
Yeah, I'll be doing nothing too, though. I'll be right here like, what? I don't
I'm
know
not going to say I'll be doing everything because I will be, but I'm not going
to
say it.
That's true. But you will be training other people to do those things.
Yeah.
Until we get it. You have to train until
I
get
training.
It.
I'm going to be training people.
Yeah. Do we talk about that today, though? Like, we talked about that today when the meeting that we went to earlier, that us as the older generation, we rely on Austin a lot to help us with technology because especially like things like switching over to Discord and stuff.
Obviously.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm doing a great job of it as the last 10
Although, our live ended super early, so, sir.
Yeah. I had full control over it. Once.
Yeah, you did. We should just say it.
I wouldn't have been able to bring it back up. I just didn't notice it went down.
No, you're good. You're good. We are still live.
Yes. Dude.
Which is weird. It's like it picks shows, though. I've never had a problem.
Yeah, but yours has the problem of cutting out.
Sometimes.
And then Jeremy's has the problem of just never working.
Ever.
Anyway, it's the last 7 minutes that we have on the show.
We're just trying to eat that time up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have the 4th of July coming up.
Which is what day?
Sunday.
We won't be here.
We will not.
Show that works. We won't be here.
So we will not be having a movie of the week. There is no note by note because the guy Lassus is on vacation and he still needs a co-host.
To be honest, Falling from Grace is working out some host issues, and I will let you guys know this coming week if we will have a show.
And then Cinephiles will be back on the air next week.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have a show on Tuesday, but we'll see.
All right. Support veterans, fire police, and EMS are out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are some really good ones out there. And as always, especially for this weekend, please, for the love of everything that you believe in holy, whether it's God, Odin, or whatever, be safe. Be smart. We want you back here. Every night we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for a movie of the week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast. Every Wednesday night for the Cinephiles. And every Friday night for Note by Note. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a very safe weekend. Remember, M80s do not belong in your hand. Don't hold fireworks. I've seen... Water your lawn. Have a hose ready. I've seen what happens when you hold a firework in your hand. It's not pretty. And because I know you're going to be drinking, be responsible about it. Have a designated driver. Drink at home. Or download the Uber and Lyft apps.
Yeah. Also,
Uber apps. The Uber and Lyft apps.
Yeah.
I do want to point out to all the Karens out there, because, you know, we love some Karens. It's whatever. You are who you are. People with PTSD, they prepare for this every year. 4th of July comes on the same day every year, amazingly. Stop bitching about it. They don't need your protection. Okay?
And also, dogs have it worse.
Well, okay. They don't need your protection, though. They don't need you to speak up for them.
Yeah.
Most people who have PTSD from wars, they're well aware of what 4th of July is. They have earplugs. They go somewhere. They do something. Stop sticking up for them. Okay, 4th of July is going to happen. As for your dog,
also,
give them a fucking Xanax and move on.
$1 million idea. Doggy earplugs.
Maybe, maybe save, like, your fireworks for the actual 4th of July and not let them off a week beforehand and take my damn house and scare the Jesus out of my dog.
Yeah.
I will say that, and I don't,
right?
I do feel for animals. My dog is pretty much used to her cage. My cats don't give a shit, because they're crazy. But if you're going to make a lot of noise, could we, it's 4th of July. That's what it's there for. It's literally a designated day. We don't need 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after. Just do your fucking fireworks and move on with your life.
I was talking to Alex.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I hate around 4th of July because fireworks go off. And I was like, I hate year-round because that's when our fireworks
yes,
go off.
Yes, I will say Tennessee does seem to like fireworks
right?
for everything. We won the football game! Woo!
$1 million idea, though. Dog earplugs.
The college won
yeah,
the football game! Woo!
We just give our dog a sedative and he's
that's,
okay.
I mean, that's
a firework just
comes,
went off.
Mm-hmm.
I swear
it,
to God it did.
We're at the same time.
I'm about
we
to
know.
Go crazy. I'm just going to get in my car, start driving around the neighborhood blaring my horn. People want to make noise.
The shooting guns in the air.
No, don't do
don't
that.
Don't do that. Do that.
No.
I'm going to continuously drive up and down the road that's lighting the fireworks just so they can't put the fireworks in the road and light them. I'm going to be that dick. Hold on, I missed my turn. Oh, I missed it again. Oh, sorry, I missed my turn once again.
I don't know what's happening.
I apologize.
I'm one of those people that can only turn left to save gas.
All right, have a good night, guys. Have a safe 4th of July. Have fun, though. Barbecue. Have fun with your friends. Have fun with family, do you think?
Yep.
Yes.
Doggy earplugs.
Doggy earplugs.
All right. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you back here possibly next Tuesday for Fallen from Grace, but next Wednesday for the Cinephiles. Y'all have a good night, and we will see you later.
Bye.